It's Morning Edition on WNYC. I'm Michael Hill. Early voting kicked off this weekend for congressional and state Senate primaries, and the New York Times has made endorsements for several key races. Joining us now with the latest as we barrel towards that August 23rd primary is WNYC's senior political correspondent, Bridget Bergen. Bridget, good morning.
Good morning, Michael.
Bridget, you co-moderated a debate last week for the top candidates in the 10th Congressional District primary. That's, of course, the open seat that covers parts of Lower Manhattan and Northwest Brooklyn. What's the news in that district this week?
Well, that's right, Michael. That debate was really kind of a slugfest, with more of the candidates taking repeated shots at Daniel Goldman, really, than any other candidate. He's, of course, the former prosecutor who represented Democrats in that first impeachment of Donald Trump. And I guess if being the target of attacks is an indicator that people perceive you to be a frontrunner, well, Goldman can add another feather to his cap because he also landed the coveted New York Times endorsement, which, you know, this is a really big deal, particularly in this district, because we're talking about devoted New York Times readers, and that can really translate into votes.
Goldman is an heir to the Levi Strauss fortune worth some more than $7 billion. What did the Times say in their endorsement of Goldman?
Well, they praised his, quote, knowledge of congressional oversight and the rule of law, and talked about how important that could be to Congress now, given the worries over threats to U.S. democracy. They also acknowledged, while he and many others in this district are extremely wealthy, as you just mentioned, I should also note that Goldman put $2 million of his own money into this race. If he is elected, he would really need to spend significant effort ensuring that lower and middle income voters in the district feel like he understands the issues that impact them.
Are you hearing much in the way of response to this endorsement? It's big news for the candidates in this field.
Yeah, it really is. And one of the strongest statements came from Assemblymember Yulene New, and she's considered the most progressive candidate in this race. She basically called the Times out, which was similar to a lot of the reaction I saw on social media. She said her campaign was about trying to achieve a, quote, true representative democracy. And that's, I think, a nod both to the diversity of this district, which includes two major Chinatowns, a significant Latino and Black communities, and the fact that out of the field of 13 candidates, the Times went with the straight white male candidate in this race, despite several very strong women and women of color on the ballot. New went on to say that it takes, quote, political courage to challenge long-held beliefs about who should hold office. And then she went on to praise her strong grassroots operation and signaled that despite this endorsement, they're going to keep on fighting until they cross that finish line on August 23rd.
It's all up to the voters. Who did the Times pick in their race for the 12th congressional district? Now, in that face-off among Gerald Nadler, Carolyn Maloney, and Suraj Patel.
So the Times went with Nadler, citing his progressive voting record since being elected to the House of Representatives in 1992. Interestingly, they called out some of the specific issues where he differed with Maloney, voting against the Iraq War and for the Iran nuclear deal. While they credited Maloney for her work on behalf of, for example, September 11th survivors and their families, noting that she's the other major incumbent in this race, of course, they did dock her for raising some concerns about vaccines, really over a decade-long period. And ultimately, they said that Suraj Patel, despite his energy, just didn't have the experience to deliver for constituents. Not unlike the 10th, this endorsement really has the potential to sway voters, but it hasn't stopped them from, you know, getting out there, hitting the stumps some more this weekend. They're at farmers markets, subway stops to make their own personal pitch to voters. I did get a response from a spokesman for Maloney who really tried to downplay the significance of the endorsement. In an email, Bob Liff wrote, and this was the quote, "Ask Mayor Garcia and co-presidents Klobuchar about the power of the Times endorsement." I think, of course, what he was referring to is the Times endorsement last spring for Catherine Garcia for New York City mayor and for Amy Klobuchar and Elizabeth Warren for president in 2020. Not exactly king-making endorsements.
We wrapped up the first weekend of early voting, Bridget. How is the turnout looking so far?
Well, so far, the Board of Elections releases early voting check-in data by county, and altogether, just over 17,000 voters turned out. The highest turnout, not surprisingly, was in Manhattan, where we have both of those competitive congressional contests that I was just talking about. Roughly 8,800 Manhattan voters voted early. The next highest turnout was in Brooklyn with about 4,700, and then Staten Island with 1,500, and Queens and the Bronx are very close with about 1,000 each. And while it's really difficult to compare early voting turnout across these primaries because you have different contests on the ballot, 1,700 is about the same number of people who voted early that first weekend during the June primary. And that's, of course, when the Democratic and Republican gubernatorial primaries were on the ballot statewide, meaning, basically every registered Democrat and Republican could turn out to vote. And that was, of course, along with state assembly and party positions. Now, that was low turnout then, and so this is low turnout too. However, not everybody has a contest this time. So for there to be the same level of turnout, particularly when people were so worried that this was going to be such a low turnout primary, it signals, I think, a decent start to this race. So I want to give our listeners a bravo. Way to start things off and show your civic engagement this summer for that second primary. Of course, there's still a week left of early voting. So if you haven't gotten a chance yet, get out there.
Yes. So what should voters expect in this final week ahead of primary day?
Well, Michael, I've had voters ask me some questions. I get DMs, I get emails from voters. I'm happy to try to clear things up. One thing that people keep asking me is it possible that they might not have a primary election this time? And the answer is, yeah. You only have a primary if your congressional or state Senate candidates face a challenge in their respective party. So if you go to findmypollsite.vote.nyc, that will tell you the location of your early voting and primary day poll site and show you your sample ballot so you know if you have a primary. So that's a good thing to check either way before you go out to vote, because as our friends over at the city have reported, a lot of poll sites have changed ahead of this primary. You can still apply for an absentee ballot in person at your local BOE office. And absentee ballots can be dropped off at any early voting site or at the Board of Elections. If you decide to put it in the mail, it's got to be postmarked by the 23rd and received by the Board of Elections by August 30th.
Bridget Bergen is WNYC's senior political correspondent. Bridget, always great to talk to you.
Thanks, Michael.